to the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined from Kansas City by our Tribe beat writer, Paul Hoynes. Paul, the Indians took a tough one on Friday night, losing to the Royals in their first meeting of the season. Carlos Carrasco gave up six runs in less than an inning of his start. What did you see out of Cookie, and what did the Indians see, and is it reason to be alarmed?
Yeah, it's. I'm not sure, Joe. I mean, this is, you know, I don't know if Carrasco doesn't like to pitch in cold weather, or, you know, I know they, when, you know, after his first start of the year in against the Twins, that's, you know, Tito kind of alluded to that he's not a big fan of pitching. It was 34 degrees that night. It was 56 degrees last night at Kauffman Stadium, but it was just over fast. I mean, you know, everybody I talked to last night, including Carrasco, said he had no velocity, no control, no command. It was like he was nowhere man. You know, he just came out there and had nothing. And the Royals let him know about it. He was done in 28 pitches, Joe. He was gone.
Wow. That being said, is he healthy? And that's the big question. Was as soon as you see something like that, you immediately jump into, you know, is he okay physically?
Yeah, he said he was fine. Francona said he was fine. You know, so I guess right now we just chalk it up as a bad start. But I would think, you know, there's kind of a red flag there. I mean, he's had three starts. One's been – in one, he struck out 12 guys in five innings. And the other two were, you know, were not good. I mean, he gives up 12 runs in the other two starts. So, you know, I would think that, you know, hopefully this is just, you know, kind of a veteran guy getting his legs under him. And, you know, he like, I guess if we go back to spring training, you know, he Kluber, him and Clevinger, you know, really were on a kind of a different program. They didn't pitch in Cactus League games until they reached the 50 pitch limit. And then they were kind of eased into the spring training. So maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. But he certainly didn't look good last night.
Well, and that gives us – you know, you bring up Kluber, you bring up Clevinger. Clevinger, of course, is now on the disabled list – or, I'm sorry, the injured list. And looking at the potential, however unlikely, of surgery to repair the teres major muscle in his upper right back. This is an injury that, if he doesn't have the surgery, could take up to 6 to 8 weeks to recover from. If he does, maybe slightly longer. What's the latest there? I mean, this is the Indians' starting pitching staff now, the strength of this team coming into the season that everybody had talked about, now it has question marks all over the place.
Yeah, I think, you know, this couldn't have happened at a more, you know, it couldn't have happened at a worse time and to, another key position on the team with losing a starter like Clevinger, who was throwing very well. You know, not only was he, you know, he won 11, 12 games last year, but he was off to a great start this year. And, yeah, it hurts, you know, and you look at the key players they've lost. Lindor, Kipnis, Clevinger to injuries. You know, Zimmer, you can throw him in there too. So, you know, this is a team that, you know, kind of is kind of a house of cards almost. It was built on the theory that we've got enough really good players to get through this division, to carry, you know, some untested players, and all the key players are getting hurt. So, you know, and it's not a good thing right now. So, yeah, and Clevinger, you know, we just don't know. I guess surgery or no surgery. I guess the recovery time is almost the same, like you were saying. So, I would think they would not want to go into his shoulder and operate on it, but. Who knows, you know, and we talked to Francona about him yesterday. He said, you know, he's not, you know, he's just doing lower body stuff now. He's just kind of recovering right now. You know, he's in kind of a shutdown mode. I know he's working out and stuff, but he can't do anything with his upper body.
So the start that Clevenger had gotten off to, and everybody kind of noticed the velo was up, the velocity was up. He was hitting, you know, as high as 97 on the gun in those two starts, and he was doing this in that second start with the injury that he had, you know, he'd sort of said he had felt it in the second inning, and he went on to pitch, and I believe he threw, you know, what, five innings of
– Yeah, five scoreless innings, scoreless, 10 strikeouts.
In his second outing. Impressive that he was able to sort of power through that, but again, you're talking about a guy who's been through surgeries before. He's dealt with injuries. This is just one of those ones where it's like it feels like he could lose the, if not the whole season, then a good chunk of it.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, you're out for 6 to 8 weeks. You figure, you know,
that's the All-Star break.
Yeah, you know, you're late June at best, maybe, but then you got to go into rehab. You've missed all that time. You know, it's not like you're going to make two rehab starts and be, you know, be right back in the big league rotation. Yeah, like you said, it's the All-Star break. It's after the All-Star break, and they're going to be extra careful with them. And so, yeah, I mean, this was a big, big blow. And right now, like you were saying before, like we were talking before, you know, they could go with a 4-man rotation after Saturday night when Jeffrey Rodriguez comes in to make a spot start. But after that, you know, eventually you're going to need a fifth starter. So, you know, they're going to have their depth is going to be tested. Maybe Adam Plutko will be healthy by then. But we don't know. So this is a test right now for them. And right now they're kind of flunking it.
All right. Chris Antonetti, prior to the game Thursday in Detroit, we asked about Adam Plutko, and he said Plutko is still, you know, weeks away is what he said from getting any sort of meaningful work to get back on the mound and pitch in any meaningful games. So, you know, Plutko might not be an option anytime in the near future. And there are options down on at the AAA level right now that, you know, aren't necessarily the options that we're accustomed to seeing. Last year, the Indians had five guys basically make all of their starts. I think seven different pitchers started games for the Indians last year, Tomlin and Plutko, in addition to the five who were in the rotation this year at the beginning of the year. That's not going to be the case this year. To show you how rare, you know, that sort of thing is, that's not going to be the case this year. They're going to have to sort of mix and match in that fifth spot. Names like Asher Wojciechowski, and, you know, Chiwi Hu is a possibility, and that's a guy who really had a rough spring.
Yeah, Cody Anderson. I guess if they get him stretched out. Mm-hmm. He might be able to help them maybe. And like, you know, you wrote last week or earlier this week, maybe they have to go with an opener and work it that way.
And, you know, Jeffrey Rodriguez is certainly a candidate for something like that when you could open, you know, with somebody and then bring a Jeffrey Rodriguez in or whatnot. Let's take a look now at the offense, which was, if Carrasco was bad last night, the offense was equally bad. Tyler Naquin hit a home run off of Brad Keller, which is something that not a lot of people have done in the last year or so. I think he went in with 54 innings of pitched where he hadn't given up a home run. So, yay for Tyler Naquin. But you're looking at an offense that didn't manage to score a run after that, and you know, things are not good. Jose Ramirez is struggling again. He had a double last night, but I think that was one for his, you know, last like 18, 19 at bats. What are you seeing offensively out of this team?
Yeah, I just think, you know, they're struggling. I mean, even in Detroit, they scored 8 runs in one game, and that was like a cornucopia of offense. They really haven't, you know, I don't think I don't think this team is built to score a lot of runs. I mean, not with Lindor and Ramirez out, and, you know, what happened and what the ownership did to the to the lineup over the winter. I just don't think they're going to score a ton of runs. Their mantra is to score one more run than the opposition, and you know, so I don't think you know, to their credit, there's, you know, there's still what they're 8-5, which, you know, I think you know, given how they entered this season and the changes they made in the winter is not too bad, but you know, this team is so reliant on starting pitching that now you've got to wonder, do they have enough offense to hang with them, and if a starter is going to have an outing like Carrasco did last night, and it just puts more emphasis on getting guys like, you know, Kipnis and Lindor back, and bringing up a guy like maybe Carlos Gonzalez from AAA. I mean, they really need to infuse some talent into this offense.
Right, and you know, that was sort of the case. You looked up; it was 6-0 in the first inning, and the game was pretty much over because you realized that the offense really doesn't have the punch to be able to get back into it. Now, I believe they loaded the bases the following inning. Ramirez had the double where they stopped Leonis Martin at Mike Sarwoff with the brakes on, stopped, yeah, Leonis Martin at third base. Could have put a run on the board there because it looked like Martin could have scored. But you know, they load the bases and Hanley Ramirez grounds out. That really sort of, you look back to that moment as being the one where if they were going to get back in the game, that was going to be it, and they couldn't do it.
Yeah, and then they intentionally walk Santana, which is a smart move because you know, with you know, with Hanley Ramirez hitting behind him, I mean, so you know, it's you know, I you know, you can pitch to this lineup. I mean, there's no question about it. And if you have one hot guy in the lineup and it's Carlos Santana, well, you're going to avoid him. And he was intentionally walked twice last night. Mm-hmm. For like, that's only the second time that's ever happened to him in his career.
All right. Well, you mentioned Jason Kipnis and Carlos Gonzalez. They are down at AAA in Columbus, which is playing in Durham this weekend. Got rained out last night. Kipnis, not necessarily tearing it up at the plate, I think in 12 appearances. He's under 200, a couple of hits. Gonzalez, you know, starting to look pretty solid. Hit a home run the other day. They batting over 300. And Tito mentioned that you'll probably see Kipnis on this trip. Didn't want to tip his hand necessarily about Gonzalez, but those are two guys where if you are going to make a move and bring them up, things on the 25-man roster and the 40-man you know, roster are going to have to start moving.
Yeah, I mean, I think those guys, you know, like you said, Kipnis is going to, you know, if he doesn't join a team in Kansas City, I would think he'd be in Seattle. You know, Gonzalez has the opt out on April 20th, and this road trip ends on the 17th. So either, you know, you add him on the trip or you add him in Cleveland. I think, you know, he's shown that he can hit, you know, that, and I think I think you got to give him a look. You signed him for a reason. You sent him to Columbus to get ready, and he looks ready. So mm-hmm. I don't think there's going to be much of a hold up there. And, you know, they always manage to work out the details on the 40 and 25 man roster.
All right. There's some options that they have, including moving Mike Clevinger to the 60-day DL, which takes him off the 40-man temporarily, or creates a spot on the 40-man temporarily. Let's talk about candidates to go out then. If these guys come in, you're looking at, you know, Tyler Naquin, we mentioned, he's a guy who after that opening series in Minnesota where he struck out 6 out of 7 appearances, has started to come around a little bit. And, you know, Terry Francona mentioned, you know, Tyler Naquin's competitiveness yesterday when talking about, you know, not necessarily talking about the possibility that he might be going out, but, you know, just talking about Tyler Naquin's efforts since that last series.
Yeah, I think, you know, Naquin has shown the ability to go to left field. He hit a home run last night. You know, and he's hitting 300. I don't know how you send a guy down that's hitting 300. I know he has
the only guys on the roster hitting 300.
Yeah, he has an option. I know he has an option, but so does Greg Allen. So does Bowers. I think they can manipulate this roster in a way where, you know, you don't have to when Naquin wouldn't have to be sent down. The only thing is, Naquin's a left-handed hitter. Gonzalez is a left-handed hitter. You know, I think, you know, a numbers game comes into play there. You want to be able to make out Francona has to be able to make out a balanced lineup. So we'll see how that works. But, I think another move, Joe, you know, when they're going to have to call up a reliever today. Mm-hmm. And I would think it looked like John Edwards, you know, was getting the bad news last night in the locker room after the game that he was getting sent down. So, you know, that's a move, too, after going through six relievers last night. They need a fresh arm, especially with Rodriguez. They don't know what they're going to get out of him tonight. So I think they want to have as many reinforcements in the bullpen as possible.
Right. And John Edwards, you know, make no mistake, that's a guy that Terry Francona was very high on in spring training. Said he expected him to really make a difference and pitch some meaningful innings for this club during the season. So I don't expect John Edwards to be down at AAA for too long if they do have to make a move, just depending on, you know, the way things shake out. And as we were talking about with the possibility of having that fifth starting spot be sort of in flux and the possibility of the, you know, using an opener or whatnot, you're going to need, arms. You're going to need relievers to rotate in. And Edwards is one of those guys that they might rely on.
And he's got options, you know, and that's what you watch. That's why you put two or three guys in the bullpen, younger guys, inexperienced guys with options. So you, when a game does happen like last night, the bullpen gets stressed, you can make moves.
All right. And, you know, as far as candidates to come up, A.J. Cole is down there in Columbus, and he's a veteran guy who has starting experience and, is maybe stretched out enough to pitch a couple innings. He's a guy who could come up. And since Columbus didn't play last night, all their relievers should be pretty fresh. So, you know, they've got their choice. As far as we talked about the outfield. We talked about the infielders and who might go out and come up with Kipnis and Gonzalez. Lindor is on this trip, and he's been rehabbing pretty hard. What's the latest on Lindor and where he might wind up as far as the possibility of doing rehab?
Yeah, Lindor is scheduled to run the bases Saturday today. If he does that, if all goes well there, they're going to check in with Dr. Robert Anderson from Green Bay, the guy they got the second opinion on his left ankle from. And if he gives them the green light, he'll go out and start a rehab assignment, I would think. Maybe depending, where they are, Akron or Columbus. It's going to take him a while. I would think he's going to need 23. I mean, he's going to need 20, 30 at bats, don't you think, to get ready at least.
Right.
And he's going to have to, and in this time of the year, the games are with the bad weather, iffy weather, you don't know how long it's going to take. But, he's doing everything right now. He looked pretty good. He's looked good swinging the bat. He's taking ground balls. He's still running cautiously, running the bases cautiously. So, we'll see how that goes, but I would think, that he's going to get green lighted here pretty soon, and he should be back up sometime in May, early May, maybe late, at the best April, late April. But I think he's going to need, he's going to need some games. He's got to get 23. I would think 20 to 30 at bats in the minors at least.
Right, and just from watching him doing his rehab while they were in Detroit. He was running. He didn't look like he was like full pushing running the whole time. And when he was fielding ground balls, he wasn't, making hard cuts to get to the ground balls and things like that. It almost sounded like they were holding him back just a little there. So there's probably still a progression or two that he needs to get through before he can go. But
yeah,
really that's,
It looked like he was wearing some kind of splint on his ankle too, some kind of protective.
It looked like that kinesio tape or whatever on his ankle. That's sort of, you know, just like a wrap of some sort. Nothing, you know, bulky. Just looking at Akron's schedule, the Rubber Ducks, when the Indians come home to open that series on the 19th against Atlanta, the Rubber Ducks are at home for a weekend for a homestand. Three against Bowie and three against Binghamton. So, you know, that's a possibility. Yeah. You might see Frankie go down there just because it's close and they're right there. So,
yeah, I don't know if he'll, if they get good news on him, Joe, from the doctor, I don't know if he makes a trip to Seattle. Maybe he just goes, you know, if they can find out something this weekend or Monday, maybe he just goes straight to a rehab from Kansas City here.
Right. All right, Paul, so do we have any questions from our listeners as we get ready for this weekend's games?
Yeah, we've got some, Joe. And as you can imagine, the natives are a little restless here. This from Terry Tose in Macedonia. Have the Indians ever had a worse shortstop than Eric Stamets? Talk about being overmatched offensively.
I would say, you know, yes, in terms of offensively, he's really sort of struggling to find himself out there. Defensively, he's had a couple of errors, but he always seems to come back in that Detroit series. He made a couple of really nice plays that off of his teammates, ironically enough. He had a play I believe it was in the first game of the series, where a ball that Miguel Cabrera hit bounced off of Jose Ramirez, and Stamets made a play over in the hole and knew he had Cabrera running, so he made a nice strong throw and got him. And then in the game on Thursday, same thing, ball hit up the middle off the pitcher, and Stamets was in a shift, and the ball caromed over to him. He made the play at first base. Defensively, I don't think he's overwhelmed by anything. Offensively, it's still a big question at the plate, and you know, this is a guy who can at any moment can strike out on three pitches.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about that. You know, when I look at Stamets at the plate, I think of Felix Fermin, I think of Mike Fishland, shortstops like that. So the Indians have had guys like this, and you know, and I think if Stamets, I think we got to give this guy a break. He's dressing in the same locker room, you know, as Francisco Lindor. It's not like Lindor is gone, you know, or back in Cleveland rehabbing. He's two lockers down from him.
Right.
So, you know, he knows he's on borrowed time. He knows, you know, that his reputation is as a defensive shortstop. And he knows, you know, that he has trouble at the plate. So, you know, with everything going on, I think, you know, this is the least of their worries, really. This is they knew Stamets couldn't hit. They just wanted him to catch the ball, and he's done a decent job at that. You know, when you look at this lineup, there's a lot more holes in this lineup than Eric Stamets.
Right. All right, what else have we got?
I got another one here from Andy Meese from Sandusky. Could the Tribe have multiple Cy Young finalists at the end of this season if everyone stays healthy?
Well, I think you can scratch one off the board with Mike Clevinger. That would be one of their Cy Young finalists that they is not going to be in the running. I still think Trevor Bauer he's probably one of the league-wide favorites right now to do it, and he's doing it, you know, the right way. He's going out there and he's really taking care of business. The rough outing in Detroit, I think we can, you know, scratch that off. I think he's going to come back against Seattle and have a really good game plan and attack it. Corey Kluber would be the big question mark. If he can get back to being Corey Kluber, which he did, he looked more like him in Detroit in his last start, I think then, yes, there's your multiple Cy Young finalists right there.
Yeah, and they had it last year. They've had it for 2 years, the last 2 years. They had Kluber and Carrasco 2 years ago, and they had Bauer and Kluber last year. So, this is a trend. This is a good trend. Correct. So, they should keep that going. Here's one that I know you're going to like, Joe. This is from Tim Reddick off of Twitter. Here's what the Indians should do. They should sign Dallas Keuchel, and when he's ready to pitch, They should trade Kluber to Milwaukee or San Diego for an outfielder. Keuchel and Kluber's salaries would be a wash. What do you think about that proposal?
No, because you know what you've got with Corey Kluber, basically. Dallas Keuchel, you'd be rolling the dice with him. This is not a team that's going to be spending new money. It's just not going to happen. Yeah. And that we've been hearing this since the offseason. I don't see them. Plus, Dallas Keuchel would be more than a month away from being able to help you in a game. And even then, you don't know what you're going to get when he does show up. So, no, yeah, you stick with Kluber.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think maybe this guy wrote this question before Clevinger got hurt, but, mm-hmm. I mean, how long is it going to take Keuchel to get ready? I mean, it takes pitchers 6 weeks to get ready. So, you know, you're waiting on Keuchel, and you trade Kluber, then you're missing Clevinger. You're down two pitchers.
Right.
You know, so you're really – so, maybe that's a proposal to look at in the off season, but I think it would, you know, you're creating two holes to fill one hole almost. Yeah,
that doesn't make any sense. The funny thing is that people wanted to say at the beginning of the off season, how terrible the bullpen was going to be and how much of a struggle it was going to be there. The bullpen has actually been the most consistent and best performing group on this squad so far. If you look at it behind the starting pitching when they're going good, I think they've had way fewer lapses through the first, you know, dozen or so games of this season than they did last season at this time.
Okay. And one more here from Mark Lasher from Bangor. What changes are coming to the outfield? Greg Allen needs to play every day, whether it's in Cleveland or Columbus. And when is Cargo going to be ready?
I think Cargo's pretty much ready now. It's just a matter of having the opportunity to get him up and get him in the lineup. I agree with the assessment on Greg Allen. I think he needs to play more. But I also think that he's a valuable asset on the bench here in with the big league club, because he can hit from both sides of the plate. He can run the bases if you need to late in the game. And, you know, he's good defensively. I think he's a good fourth outfielder. But, you know, if he's not going to get the at-bats that he needs in order to become a consistent hitter if he's sitting on the bench here in Cleveland.
Yeah, I think you're right, Joe. I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, they got rid of kind of the veteran guys on this team, Raja and Guyer, guys that filled that role. And they're trying to, you know, fit Greg Allen, kind of a round peg into a square hole right here. And you know, I think he is valuable. Like you said, switch hitter, can run. But it would be nice to see him play every day too, as well. But maybe this is his role. Maybe, you know, Tito likes him in this role, and, you know, coming off the bench in the big leagues is better than playing every day at AAA. So we'll see how that works out.
Right. You know, I bet you if you ask Greg Allen, he would definitely want to stay with the big league club. That's for sure. But and you've got to give Oscar Mercado down at AAA the opportunity to play every day as well, because, you know, you saw what the potential was there during spring training. So maybe by keeping Allen on the bench here, In with the big league club, you're creating, you know, the opportunity for Mercado to play as well.
Yeah, that's a great point. Definitely, great point.
All right. Well, another getting ready for the trip from KC to Seattle. That's always a fun one, Paul. Looking forward to anything that you're looking forward to seeing from this team in the coming week?
I'm going to see if they can keep the ball in the park against the Mariners. that's a pretty potent lineup, and the Indians helped them by sending Edwin Encarnacion to them for Carlos Santana. So that's going to be an interesting series. The Indians always play well in Seattle. They have a great, you know, great history against the Mariners, overall record against the Mariners, but The Mariners are supposed to be rebuilding, and they're running away with the AL West, man.
Right, it's a lineup powered by, like you said, former Indians Edward Encarnacion, and Jay Bruce is on that team as well.
Yeah.
And he's hitting the ball a ton as well. So, should be a fun series to watch. And you know, Trevor Bauer is going to open that series against Kikuchi, the lefty from Japan. The young kid who looks pretty good. It should be a lot of fun watching that series. That brings us to the end of this week's podcast. Paul, you know, safe travels to the Great Northwest later on this weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon when you get back from Seattle.
Great talking to you, Joe. We'll see you, man.